Hello and welcome to the Midday Buffet with your host, Jasmine Doster, here on Young Fly Sanctified Radio. I hope everybody is having a blessed day. So today, what I want to talk about is, spiritual warfare and how to experience the victory that we have in Christ, because we are in a fight, ladies and gentlemen. We have to remember that, we live in a spiritual world. And, the enemy is after us and he doesn't want us to live in the fullness of who we are in Christ. He doesn't want us to possess the promises that God has promised to us in his word. So in order for us to prevail, we have to persevere and we have to fight back. We have to use our spiritual weapons to fight back. When I thought about, talking about this subject, what came to mind is a TV show that I like to watch. It's called The 100, and it's a show about a group of people who, I guess it's after the apocalypse or the end of the world, and there was a group of people of a few thousand that lived on a space station in space, and they lived there for about 97 years, and then they were running out of oxygen on the spaceship, so they sent 100 kids who were prisoners because they were expendable. They sent them down to Earth to see if it would be inhabitable, because according in the 100 world, there was radiation and lots of explosions at the end of the world. So they lived in space for 97 years thinking that, they could not live on the Earth, and they would even have to float people, like, basically execute people in order to stay alive once there was a problem with the oxygen on the ship. So, getting to the point of how is this related to spiritual warfare? Well, once the kids got down to Earth, they were relieved, like, wow, because they had dreamed their whole life. They'd never seen Earth. They'd never seen trees or any of that stuff in person. So they're so excited in that first episode. And then they have a map that the people on the spaceship and their parents gave them to find an area that had some place called Mount Weather that has some supplies that was believed that no one had gotten to those supplies before the explosion, so that the kids would be able to get those supplies and that they would be fine and able to survive and live happily ever after on Earth. But soon after, just in the second episode of the whole show in the first season, they're on their way to try to get to this mountain, and one of the kids gets speared by natives. So they find out that there are people there, and that is, when I watched that, it's like, it reminded me of Joshua 1, because in Joshua 1, the people of Israel that God rescued from Egyptian slavery, he promised them the promised land. But when they got to the edge of it, they looked in there and it was like, oh my gosh, they're giants, and they were intimidated. So it was for them. It was their promise, but they had to fight to get it. There were people there, and those people thought the land belonged to them. So, in the 100 world, ever since they got to Earth, they've been fighting. And some of you may be listening to this and you may say, I kind of feel like that ever since I got saved. Like, there are blessings, but there's a fight, because, you're either under God's authority or you're under Satan's authority. So when you're in the world and you're not under God's covering, sometimes life can seem or look easier, because the Satan doesn't have to attack his own people. What is he going to attack you for? He already has you. You're already going to belong to him forever, right? So sometimes it can seem like, okay, people who are living, a worldly lifestyle and not under, they're not Christians and they're not saved, and it might look that way, but it's because they've already lost the battle. But, as children of God, we have to know that our God is stronger. He's bigger. We already have victory in him. He's no match for Satan, but we have to fight. So I'm going to talk about some ways that we can fight. And sometimes, there's different things that we experience along the way. It might look like you even lost the battle, but it's so you can win the war. Okay, so let's just look at some of these promises of victory in Christ Jesus. In 1 Corinthians 15:57, it says, "But thanks be to God who gives us victory through our Lord Jesus Christ." 2 Corinthians 2:14, "But thanks be to God who always leads us to triumph in Christ and manifests through us a sweet aroma of knowledge of Him in every place." So we can have victory in Christ, and it's not that we can, but we already did. That's what, you know, this past weekend was Easter, or Resurrection Day. That's what it's really all about. It's about Christ. It's not about bunnies. It's not about chocolate. It's not about Easter speeches. It's not about, you know, commercialism, but it's about what Christ did, what He accomplished when He died on that cross, and then He rose again. He secured victory. He took the keys of life and death, you know, in that day, in that moment. And that's what we have to celebrate. So we just have to know that, you know, we have victory. So don't be afraid to get in the fight. One of my favorite warriors, he's also, you know, a man of worship, is King David. You know, King David, in order for him to become king, he had to kill a giant. He had to eliminate those enemies that were stopping him from reaching his destiny. Okay, let's take a look at 1 Samuel 17:45-47. So then King David said to the Philistine, "You come to me with a sword, a spear, and a javelin, but I come to you in the name of the Lord, the God of the armies of Israel, whom you have taunted. But this day, the Lord will deliver you up into my hands, and I will strike you down and remove your head from you. And I will give the dead bodies of the army of the Philistines this day to the birds in the sky and the wild beasts of the earth, and the earth may know that there is a God in Israel, and that all this assembly may be see that the Lord does not deliver by sword or spear, for the battle is the Lord's, and He will give you into our hands." So, you know, in this passage, you see that David is confident in his Lord. No, David, he saw that the Philistine giant, he had all, you know, all these tools, all this fancy stuff to beat him. He had his sword. He had his spear. He had earthly weapons. And it just goes back to that whole thing of, you know, the world's way versus God's way of doing things. If you looked at those two people standing next to each other, you would think David doesn't have a chance. This little boy needs to go sit down. He was like a teenage boy. Like, he really needs to go sit down. It's like an army soldier, you know, with grenades and a machine gun and all this protective gear, and David standing there talking about how the Lord is going to deliver him. I mean, it looked crazy, okay? And sometimes in life, you know, things, it does look crazy. It's like, God, how can you even want me to believe this, you know? But you have to believe it. You have to know it. Not even just believe. You have to know that you know that you know that you have victory in Christ. Amen? So, and you have to know that, you know, there is a faith fight. Amen? A fight can be described as to strive, to contend for victory with armies or a single combat, to act in opposition to anything, to struggle against. So you have to fight. Amen. You have to fight with the weapons, our spiritual weapons. Amen. And you have to do, you know, practical things that's necessary to win your fight as well. Because David, he showed up to the fight, right? He didn't stay at home and say, "Oh, I'm going to beat Goliath," but he was like in bed or on the couch or whatever. But he showed up to the fight. He believed God. And he even prophesied. He was telling telling Goliath what he was going to do to him. "I'm going to feed your dead body. I will deliver your dead body today. I'm going to give dead bodies of the army of the Philistines this day to the birds." So he told him, "This is what I'm going to do." So we want to be like King David, and we want to believe God, and we want to show up to the fight. King David, some things that King David did, he asked God for strategies. If you look throughout the book of Psalms, you know, David would say, "Teach my hands to war and my fingers to fight." He wanted a divine battle plan. You know, sometimes we can come up with plans on our own, but it can be from the top of our head. it may not be from God. So we want to ask God, you know, lead me and guide me. Show my hands to war, my fingers to fight. Because, you know, God is wiser than us. So we want to seek his wisdom. And he will give us the wisdom on how to defeat the enemy. Amen. Now let's take a look at... We looked at, if you want to read, you can read in Joshua 1, 1 through 8. And I'll read there and then from the NIV version. After the death of Moses, this is kind of what we're talking about, the promised land, but we're going to look more in depth into those scriptures really quickly. After the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord said to Joshua, son of Nun, Moses, my servant, is dead. Now then, you and all these people get ready to cross the Jordan River in the land I'm about to give you. So they had instructions from the Lord to get ready. Because God, I'm about to give you the land. I promise you. I'm going to give you that promise. That thing I told you about 4 years ago. The thing I promised to you 10 years ago. The thing that I put in your heart. You know, your promise. I'm about to give it to you. So he's told them to get ready. So God will prepare us. He'll prepare us for what it is that we are going to possess, whatever the promise is, our destiny. God prepares us first. He's a good father. So I look at it like, or I see it like, if you are an athlete, I remember in high school I did track, right? And to get ready for track meets, we had practice 5 days a week or 4 days a week, and we would run. And just a person that runs a 100 meter dash or a 400 meter dash, I mean, you would run miles at practice just to be conditioned to be able to run that 100 meter dash the fastest possible so that it's easy. You understand? I did the 400 meter dash. So, you know, you run miles. I might run 3 miles at practice, practicing, running, getting my heart conditioned, getting my body conditioned. Lifting weights, doing things to make my body stronger and faster so that when I have to run 400 meters, when I'm used to running 3 miles, then that 400 meters should be a breeze when it counts the most. So, you know, God will get us prepared and ready to possess the promise and to defeat our enemies. So now let's go to verse 3 in Joshua 1. It says, I will give you every place where you set your foot, as I promised Moses. Look at that. He said he's going to give them every foot. They had to walk it out. But he said, I'm promising you, and I promised this to Moses, that every foot, everywhere you set your feet, God said he was going to give them that territory. Your territory will extend from the desert of Lebanon and from the great river Euphrates and all the Hittite country. And the Mediterranean Sea in the west, no one will be able to stand against you all the days of your life. As I was with Moses, so I will be with you. I will never leave you or forsake you. I mean, that is a heck of a promise. Isn't that amazing, people of God? He said that every place they set their foot, so they had to go put their foot on the land. They had to go walk the land. They had to go conquer the land. He didn't bring them to the foot of, you know, the Jordan River and then make all the people leave ahead of time. And then they got the place. They were going to go have to contend for what was theirs. But he already told them ahead of time that it's already yours. He mapped out their territory. He said from the desert to Lebanon and from the great river. And the Euphrates, and the Hittite country, and the Mediterranean Sea. So he told them where to go. So, Lord, I pray that whoever is listening to this under the sound of my voice, and they're looking for direction, and they want to know, you know, what you want for their life, what's their purpose, you know, where are they supposed to be, what sector, what industry, what type of ministry that they want to do. I pray that you will give them specific instructions, that you'll tell them, you know, where their territory is in the name of Jesus Christ. And that it will be revealed, because you revealed it to the people of Israel and you revealed it to Moses. And right here in your word, it says that as it was with Moses, so I will be with you. So, Lord, be with us like you were with Moses. Amen. In Jesus' name. So he said he will never leave them or forsake them. And the Lord will never leave us or forsake us. So Verse 6, be strong and courageous because you will lead these people to inherit the land I swore to their ancestors to give them. Be very strong. Be careful to obey the law of the servant Moses gave you. Do not turn from the right or the left, that you may be successful in whatever you do. And that's verse 7. Keep this book of the law always on your lips. Meditate on it day and night, so that you may be careful to do everything written in it. Then you will be prosperous and successful. Have I not commanded you? Be strong and courageous. Do not be afraid. Do not be discouraged, for the Lord your God will be with you wherever you go. So Joshua ordered the officers of the people, go through the camp and tell the people, your provisions are ready. 3 days from now, you will cross the Jordan River here to go in and take possession of the land the Lord your God is giving you, your own. Amen. So, you know, the weapons of our warfare are not carnal. There's five things, I think, when you look in the word, that we can do when we're in our fight so that we can conquer and that we can possess the promise and walk in that victory that's already been promised to us. Just like the people of Israel, just like the people in the 100, just like King David. Okay, so, you know, 2 Corinthians 10 and 4 says, for the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through the pulling down of strongholds. So, number one, the first thing is to possess the promise, you must ask God for his instructions. Again, Psalms 144:1. Praise be to the Lord, my rock, who trains my hands to war and our fingers to battle. So God can train your hands to war and your fingers to battle. He can show you the battle plan. He can prepare you for it. So when you get there, it's a breeze. When you get there, it's not as hard as it was because you trained. Think about the military when they're going to war. They go through basic training. Every single person that joins the military or the armed forces, they go through training to get their bodies conditioned. So if attacked happen, they can be ready. They also have regular, regular workout or training sessions that they do on a regular basis, on a daily basis. So, you know, something that you can do in your own personal prayer time is, you know, prayer. Prayer is a big weapon. The word of God is a weapon. You know, memorize scriptures. I feel like every person should have some scriptures that you just live by. And when I say live by, I mean, like, you can recite them. You know them. They're part of your heart. Like, they've become a part of you because you've been meditating on that word. And when the enemy comes to attack you, say he's trying to attack your mind, you can quote that scripture back to him. That's what the Lord did. Jesus, when he was encountering Satan, when he was just got done fasting for 40 days, Satan came to try to test him. And he even tried to test him with the word and quote the word to him. But he was twisting the scriptures. And Jesus said, it is written. So we have to know the word for ourselves. We have to know it so we can believe it and that we can bring it to our remembrance in times of trouble, in times of a battle. Two, we want to obey God. You know, it's not enough to just know the word. But we want to be careful to obey his instructions. In Joshua 1:7 that we just read, said, be careful to obey all the law my servant Moses gave to you. So we want to obey God's instructions. You know, we are in the New Testament, our new covenant. But we want to, you know, obey God's word. We want to obey his instructions to us because it's for our own benefit. 3, we want to be of courage, you know, be strong and courageous. Courage is when you do something even though you're still afraid. I've seen the cutest meme on Facebook and Instagram. It's like a little baby going down a slide. And it's like when you know God, it's God's plan, but you're still afraid and the baby has his face like scrunched up. You know, sometimes we can be afraid like, God, can I really do this? But we have to have courage. We have to have courage because God said, be strong and courageous. And he said he will lead them, these people, to inherit the land that was sworn to them by their ancestors. So step out and do something in faith. Be courageous. And when doubt comes in, you know, remember Joshua 1:6. Be strong and courageous because you will lead these people to inherit the land I swore to the ancestors to give to them. And I guess this is this fourth or fifth thing? So this is going to be number five. Meditate on the word day and night, then do it. So keep this book of the law. Joshua 1:8 says that keep this book of the law and always on your lips. Meditate on it day and night so that you may be careful to do everything written in it. Then you will be prosperous and successful. So I guess this ties into number two as well. But you want to, you know, meditate on the word and then do it. I guess all my points are pretty much the same. So we want to get a divine battle plan. Just to recap, we want to obey God. We want to be courageous and we want to just keep meditating on that word. I don't think I can put that in there enough, really. We have to meditate on the word because the more we meditate on it, it becomes a part of us. And we want this word to be a part of who we are. You know, we want the word to dwell in us richly. And we want the word to be like it can be a shield to us. The wisdom of God can bring healing. It can be medicine to our flesh. There's so many benefits to knowing the word. So if you are listening to this, and also a book I want to recommend that I wrote, that is, I have a section in there about spiritual warfare prayer and some different, like a prayer guide to help, you know, strengthen your prayer life and just pray spiritually. This is a book called The Vine Devotions, The Richness of Abiding in Christ. And at the back section of that book, there's a prayer guide. So you can check that out. Also, I have a lot of material on similar topics on my blog. It's youngflysanctified.com. Okay, so I hope this message was a blessing to you. So get in there and get in the fight, stay in the fight, and stay in faith. So I'm just going to pray out, and then I want you to get back to the rest of your day and go be a light and a witness for Christ Jesus. Okay, so dear Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank you, Lord, for who you are. We thank you, Lord, that you are God by yourself. We thank you, Lord, for this word. We pray, Lord, that it'll be planted in our hearts, Lord God. We pray that we will hear it, this word, and that we will do it, Lord God, that we'll be hearers and doers of your word and not deceiving ourselves, Lord God. We thank you that the battle was won. We thank you for victory in Christ Jesus, Lord God. We thank you, Lord God, that we have the power to trample on serpents, scorpions, all the powers of darkness, and nothing by any means so hurt us, Lord. Teach our hands to war. Teach our fingers to fight, Lord God. Teach us how to fight the good fight of faith. Teach us how to walk in your power, Lord God, because you have given us power from on high, Lord God. We are seated in heavenly places in Christ Jesus, Lord God. We pray that you will show us how to walk with you, Lord God, how to fight this good fight of faith. And we just decree victory now in the name of Jesus. We thank you that the battle was already won and we possess the promises, Lord God. And we stand in faith. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.